Hebrews 9. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the thickest of the two, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world, or in the consummation of the ages, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I'm sure many of us must have heard often of these three appearings that are in this short passage we have read together, but perhaps we haven't all taken the trouble to look them up. If you don't so, I think you will find they are each distinct in their setting. Called here in English appearing, you may find by your concordance it's an English word for three distinctive words in the Greek. Not that we're going to attempt an explanation of that, but just to emphasize a little of what we've been hearing today in regard to the Lord Jesus Christ, his first coming, his present coming or appearing that we have here, and his future appearing when we look for him coming back to take us to be with himself. I just want to pass this on more as a means of stimulating a little inquiry in this, as the apostle writing to these Hebrews assured them in verse 24, that Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the antitypes of the true, but into heaven itself. Here we learn then that that most holy place in the tabernacle system was a picture of heaven itself. And one cannot but doubt the reason of that in the antitype, that the only vessel that was found in that most holy place was the Ark of the Covenant, indicative, we are very sure, of the Lord Jesus Christ himself coming into manhood, in order that on the one hand, God may be made known to man, and on the other hand, and may, as the result of that revelation, have liberty, intelligence, to draw near to God. There's another interesting point in that, in the 10th chapter, where we have both the body and the blood and the flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here again, three distinctions according to the setting in which we find them. But his flesh we are told have taken the place of the veil that was between the holy place and the most holy place through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Puzzling over these as we ought to do, beloved, one raised the question, just why is the flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ brought in there? Well, do we not learn, and looking back to that antitype, to that type of it, that God in his glory was at one side of that veil, and man, privileged to draw near to God, was at the other side of that veil. But instead of going through the veil of the tabernacle today, our approach into the presence of God is through Christ himself. The question has often been raised, very often debated, sometimes doubted, when we point out that the veil of the tabernacle was never ended. It was never ended, though. It was the veil of the temple. And I think in the study of these types we find that the tenth tabernacle has to do with the approach to God, but the temple has in view the display of God. And at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, God in all his greatness and grandeur and glory, and his love to mankind came to life, and to remind us that based upon the death of Christ, we have access into the presence of God. But beloved, there's still a veil. Not a lame veil, it doesn't say that. Through the veil, that is to say his flesh. What then is the veil? Why, we hardly need to speak about it, do we? It's our Lord Jesus Christ himself, that wonderful man who presented God to us on the one hand, and at the answer to that revelation, takes us into God on the other. There's no approach to God apart from him, and it is himself, and the light and the truth that we learn in him, that gives us now the liberty to draw near into the presence of God, as I suppose we can use John 4, as the true worshippers worship him in spirit and in truth. But I was led to that in relation to this first appearing in verse 24, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Think of him being there, beloved, on our account. He's there, of course, on God's account, but because God wants you there, and he wants me there, he appears in the presence of God for us. That is, he's approached that presence, he stands there, presenting himself, as it were, and the fruit of the work that he has accomplished, and is being there, not only represented the best, again helped with a seat many years ago, and asking a brother what difference he made between the first 7 chapters or the first 8 chapters of this book and chapters 9 and 10. He said, see, I've been wondering all this reading. What was wrong with you? Oh, well, I did tell that. He said, you've got to the place of representation. What you're short of George's best association. Pardon me saying that, beloved, because I'm certain in our morning meeting, few of us realize the sense of association. We represent William, he's there for us. But his brother said, don't forget George. Oh, in this moment, only have garments of glory and beauty, he had a family of sons, and in representation in the garments, the sons could go with him in association into the presence of God. I like to pass on these things now as I'm getting older. They were a great help to me as we were growing up in the knowledge of these things. Remember, beloved, them while he appears in the presence of God for us. It isn't only to represent us there, it's that we might join them there in association as the true worshippers in the presence of God himself. That I understand in his part, not all of course, part of his first appearing in the presence of God for us. Goes on to explain again, looking back to the type. Know yet that he should offer himself often. What a sorry thing it would have been, would it not, if our Lord had to die him often? No, thank God. We might have put it here, so far as we know, of course, today. He didn't offer himself twice. Never mind often like Aaron, year by year. No more than often presenting himself or offering himself as the high priest entered into the holy place every year. Again, an interesting point with blood of others. Again, if you care to check this up, you'll find this word rendered here, others. Doesn't Mr. Darby render it blood? Nothing at all. I think I'm right there, yes. But if you look at the 11th chapter, it's the very word translated there, alien. So I find out, alien blood. We sit down and consider these things, beloved. Why should it use a term like that? And this, as far as I know, if I'm right with what we gained, that when Aaron did go in once every year, he took in blood inferior to his own blood. It was the blood of a bullock, of less value than the blood of a man. He went in with inferior blood of others. What about our Lord Jesus Christ? Could we not venture to suggest, beloved, he's gone in with superior blood, and all its matchless perfection, the love of God, sinless and spotless, that taketh away the sin of the world? No, no, thank God he doesn't do it often, nor is it with the blood of others, but in the value of his own precious blood, in all its value. It carried it in, as it were, or the value of it, into the presence of God, we read it on, for then must the often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, or in the consummation of the ages, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it hardly press upon you that the appearing of verse 26 historically precedes the appearing of verse 24. Verse 26 is what we've been considering much today. He's coming into this world in sinless, subject, perfect manhood. Not only that the will of God might be accomplished, but that you and I might be secured in a redeemed company, fit to draw near to God, as already we've quoted it, true worshippers, and to worship God. He came but one then to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. I remember some years ago, a Jewish traveler saying to a brother we knew, Mr. Nelson and Ackerman, what difference is there between you and me, Mr. Nelson? That I've often tried to get a word with. He said, you know, I think I can tell you. You believe in God, don't you, by Moses? Oh, yes, said the Jew. I believe in God by Christ. Just the difference. Do you know your sins are forgiven? No, said the Jew. Well, said Mr. Nelson, I do. Just the difference in the appearing of Christ to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as the result of sin, that pointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, so Christ was once of it to bear the sins of many. The two sides of the cross come in here, propitiation on the one side, in verse 26, dealing with the question on God's account, substitution on the other side, in verse 28, dealing with the question on our account. After verse 6, one of it to bear the sin of many. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without salvation. That last appearing, we can't just say a word about it. It means to become visible, to come into sight, the one we've never seen, but if our brother's been pointed out to us, the one we are trying to see, the one we are looking for. He appeared the first time to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He appears now in the presence of God, and so that we might go in and associate with him to worship our God through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. But he's yet to appear, become visible when we're going to see him, and in every eye is going to see him. But we are going to see him first. That wonderful company, as we've heard, the dead raised, the living changed, caught up together to be for more than the spirit, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, my dear, in the Lord's verses, wherefore comfort one another with this word. For just a simple call to pass on to you, beloved, how the Son of God is presented to us, coming in that first appearing, then out of the presence of God, soon to come into sight, to take us to be with himself, with him, unlike him forever.